Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Professor Sylvain Charlebois started this program today. The director of the Dalhousie University Agri-Foods Laboratory and the report they just released, study shows that 60% of Canadians regularly eat food beyond its best before date. Millennials, 41% believe they have become ill after eating potentially unsafe food products in the past year, but they spent the money on what they could afford. And it was often food that was right at the end of its best before time and maybe kept it around for a while. And, he also said Canada's food sector is falling behind that of the United States. And there is the chance, a good chance, that Canadian firms will just say, we can't survive here. We just can't make it with the way the government is running things, particularly the carbon tax. And there's nothing that forces them to stay in this country. They're not criminals, although Jagmeet Singh may want you to believe that they're sort of 1 foot in and 1 foot out of the out of that definition. That's just not true. I'd like to speak with Mr. Singh about that. We'll ask him to do it. But I said there were going to be two parts on the food issue, food situation, food. It's a crisis in Canada. It's huge. I had no idea, and we've talked about it a lot, I had no idea we were going to be hearing what we've heard over the last couple of days. No idea. A report released on Friday by StatsCan, this will blow you away, and I know there are people listening to this program right now, I know it, who are caught up in this. 8.7 million Canadians. That would instantly be the biggest city in the country. If you took if you took 8.7 million people and placed them on the ground and built a city around them, that would instantly be the largest city in Canada. 8.7 million Canadians, or 22.9% of our national population, has reported some level of food insecurity. The most recent numbers that are available from StatsCan are 2022. I don't think there's any reason to believe it's improved. 8.7 million Canadians, 22.9% of the national population, have reported some level of food insecurity in 2022. Now wait, it gets worse. That's an increase of almost 1.8 million people from the previous year. An increase of almost 1.8 million people from the previous year. We're joined by Professor Valerie Tarasuk, the lead investigator of the University of Toronto's Household Food Insecurity Research Program. It's known as PROOF, and we've spoken with Professor Tarasuk on a number of occasions about this very, very disturbing, hugely disturbing reality. Professor Tarasuk, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
8.7 million people out of a population of 40 million.
Yeah.
How do we get to this place?
You know, I mean, this is a problem that's been festering for a long time, right? Like, honestly, PROOF has been tracking these numbers for years now, and each year the number has gone up. And I should just clarify one thing. Well, the year on this survey is 2022. The survey interviews that gave us that horrible number of 8.7 or 8.69 million. The interviews were actually conducted between January and June of 2023.
Oh, wow.
So it's important, right? Because what we've seen over the last couple of years is really, really dramatic inflation in costs of food and shelter, fuel, you know, basic necessities. And so I think part of the explanation for the very dramatic increase that we're reporting now is the increase in costs, basic costs of living. And you know, we've got a fairly substantial number of people in the country who have been unable to manage those costs. And that's what that hideous number of 8.69 million is telling us.
Mm-hmm. Statistics Canada did measure this food insecurity. They had three categories they used. One was marginal, the second was moderate, and the third was severe. What are they? What's the difference between them?
Yeah. Well, it's a good question. So the questions that ascertain household food insecurity status, there are 18 of them, and they range in severity from worrying about running out of food and not having more, through to some questions about quality, so not being able to feed yourself or your children a balanced meal because of a lack of money for food. And then a whole bunch of questions about quantitative deprivation, so skipping meals, cutting the size of meals, and at its most extreme, going whole days without eating, all because of a lack of money for food. So the marginal category of food insecurity are people who said yes to one question of the 18. And that's most likely to be the worry question, but it might also be a question about the quality of food being compromised. What's really upsetting about the new numbers that we've got is that the bulk of the increase is not the marginal category. It's the moderate and severe groups. So the moderately food insecure, of which we now have 3.3 million people living in those, 4.135 million people living in those conditions now, moderately food insecure. They are households that have reported some compromise in quality, and possibly among some members, a compromise in the amount of food. The most disturbing finding for me on this whole story is the increase in the number of people living in severely food insecure households. We've got 2.29 million of those people. And that means, Roy, that they're in households that have reported at some point over the prior 12 months actually having not enough to eat. Now, that doesn't mean that children in those households have gone hungry necessarily, but it means that somebody, most likely adults, have been compromising the amount of food that they're eating because of a lack of money for food. So these are substantial levels of deprivation. It's not just about somebody thinking, you know, gee whiz, the price of, I don't know, milk has gone up. I better, you know, cut back on my milk consumption. It's not that. This is people, especially at the bottom end, really, really struggling to afford the food they need.
Do I have this correctly, that in the severe category, there are people who are telling the folks who are asking the questions, they're saying they've gone days without food because they can't afford it?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I it's too early for me to know how many are in that category. I mean, that's the worst case scenario. And so it's always the smallest number
that
report that. And remember, these are interviews with people who are housed. So would be people in much worse situations that we're not picking up. I also should say that these numbers only include people in the 10 provinces. We haven't got the territories in here, and we haven't got people living in First Nations reserves or First Nations communities. And so there may be people in much worse circumstances. Unquestionably, people without stable housing will be way more likely to be in that severe category. But yeah, it's too early to know what the percentage is. It will be small, but it still will be way too higher than it should be.
This is Canada.
Yeah.
First world nation, G7 nation. It's intolerable. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's going to change in the short term? Are you hopeful?
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about data that were collected in 2023.
Right.
And if you think about what's going on right now in 2024, we haven't seen prices fall. So then the question is, well, what's happened to incomes? Have we got more income supports on the table to help people manage these increasing prices? And in some jurisdictions, we do, right? I mean, Newfoundland and Labrador came out with a very, very progressive poverty reduction strategy a few months back. And that included something like a 300% increase in the provincial child benefit. So, you know, in places like Newfoundland and Labrador, I think we can expect these numbers to hold steady or maybe even dip. But in other places like Ontario, I don't think that's what we should be expecting, unless there's been some concerted action to improve incomes of people at the bottom end, or, you know, something else, an increase in employment and, you know, number of hours available to work. Unless there's something else that's changing, the situation isn't going to change.
Yeah. Food banks, you've told us before, are not the answer, even though food banks are recording again record usage of their resources.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think like when these numbers came out on Friday, we started to hear from people who are operating food banks across the country. And I think for them, these numbers resonate, right? They are seeing people lined up around the block. I heard somebody interviewed who was leads a food bank in Nova Scotia, or the large Feed Nova Scotia Association. And he said people come like an hour or two before the place even opens, just to make sure that they're, you know, have a good spot in line to get the best, I guess, of what's on offer. So, you know, at the community level, this problem has been playing out for months now. And so we've just now got a set of numbers that confirm that, in fact, we've got a growing number of people in our communities that can't manage.
Dr. Tarasuk, thank you. Thank you for taking the time. I really was hoping the news would be better after the last time you and I spoke, but thank you so much.
Well, thanks for your interest in this. I mean, part of the way these things change is that we shine a light on them, right? So
yeah,
thank you,
Roy,
for taking this on.
I'll continue to do that. Thank you again.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.